I'd like for you to take your Bibles. We are going to talk about a little bit of a, it's not politics, but this is the Word of God we're looking at, but some important instruction in this area of who do you trust? Who do you trust? And we're going to look at Psalm 146, and let's read this psalm together. All right, Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Well, the beginning of this psalm is very clear. Just a burst of praise at the beginning of that. I don't know if you noticed or not, but together this morning we've already sung some good praise songs. So thank you for joining in that. And we agree, I think, everybody in the room, with what is in verse 1 here, an important way to start this this psalm in the first two verses. But the rest of the chapter is a comparison. And I don't know if for some reason there are people in the church these days who have gotten pretty invested in trusting princes, trusting those who are in politics, believing that our political system, if it's just fixed the right way and we just get the right people in office, would take care of all of the problems that we have in our society. This passage makes it clear that when you trust government officials, here's where you're putting your trust. They're just human. There's not one of the legislators who got up here this morning that wouldn't say to you, I'm just like you. I go through the same things you go through. I have problems with my kids. My car breaks down. We have the same types of issues. Now, during their jobs, they have decisions to make that affect a lot of people. And in a lot of ways, they're not exactly the way we are with the jobs that we have. But they're just human. They would tell you that. This passage calls them sons of men. They're just human. And they're not going to save us from the problems that we have. And they're not going to give ultimate salvation, that's for sure. They can't, because they're just human. This passage says that their earthly life will end, same as you and me. And boy, we have sure felt that in the Maryland General Assembly just in the last couple of years. The Speaker of the House passed away a couple of years ago. The President of the Senate, long-term President of the Senate, longest-serving President of the Senate in American history, I think. Mike Miller passed away recently of cancer. So that's going to happen to those who are in these government offices. So when that happens and they end up in the earth, any plans they had for the future, it's going to stop. Their plans will perish, this passage says. So it's really a no-brainer when you take a look at the rest of this passage and it lists out the great things that you are investing in when you make the decision to trust the God of Jacob. You're going to trust a man or a woman who's just human, or are you going to trust the God of Jacob? And the things that are listed here are tremendous. He's the all-powerful creator of everything, says that he made heaven and earth, that he keeps faith forever, a faithful God, that he grants true justice. Do you get tired of watching the news and you just see so much injustice going on. God is a God of justice, and he executes judgment for the oppressed. It says here he provides for the needy. Look at the rest of this list that is given to us. Frees those who are in bondage to sin. Gives spiritual insight. He encourages the downhearted. He loves those who are righteous, this passage says. Loves the righteous, those who obey him. Sojourners, he takes care of sojourners. He has a pretty good immigration policy. He advocates for widows and orphans. He has a great law enforcement policy. The wicked he will bring to ruin. The people who refuse to keep the law, God takes care of that in his time and in his way. But the people that we think are getting away with things and should be put away because of their actions, God will take care of that because he is a God of justice and he brings the wicked to ruin. So we take a look at that list and we see the clear choice of trusting princes or trusting the God of Jacob. It's pretty clear what the best decision is. And I hope that you are one who is not necessarily separated completely from politics, because we still need to be involved in the world around us. We still need to be salt and light. But I want us to take one more passage and take a look at this morning, because that's something we need to talk about. If you're not going to trust in princes, the problem is you still live in a country where you've got people over you, people who are still in those offices, maybe making decisions you don't agree with and that don't please the Lord and don't follow his way. Paul told the Philippians that your citizenship is in heaven, but we also have citizenship here. So we are a part of a world system, and we are under those who have been placed in these official positions. Nothing we can do about that. The Lord takes care of that. He takes kings down, brings kings up. He has the power of doing that. But if our citizenship is in heaven, our main citizenship, we still have citizenship here. And Paul tells the Philippians again, you need to be lights. You're living in a crooked and perverse world. You should shine as lights. You remember Abraham? Abraham had things going pretty well. And God showed up one day and said, Abraham, I want you to move. He didn't move in a hassle. Just hate moving. Packing everything up and, you know, I mean, it's just... And listen, Abraham had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of livestock. He had family. Had all kinds of belongings. This was not a small thing for Abraham to pack up and leave. But Abraham had faith in God, and he said, sure, I will move. Where would you like me to go? The obvious question. And God said, don't worry about it. Just go. There's the road. Move. And he did. He took his stuff, and he started walking down the road, and he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going to end up. And Abraham is an example to us today of great faith. Sarah, his wife, is an example of great faith. She ended up getting pregnant. She was like 100 years old, got pregnant with a child of promise, Isaac. And Isaac, Sarah, Abraham, all of them were of great faith. And Abraham's grandson, Jacob, had 12 sons, started the nation of Israel. These were people of faith. And they all show up in that great chapter in the New Testament that talks about people who had great faith. Hebrews chapter 11. And in these verses right here, we have a little bit more about the way they looked at the world. And we would all do good to look at the world the same way as these folks did. So when it says that these all died, we're talking about Abraham. We're talking about Jacob. We're talking about Isaac and Sarah. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers, exiles on the earth. People who think and speak this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone when God first called Abraham to leave, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire better country. That is, one that is in heaven. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. God knows that you are just moving through this world. If you think your citizenship is in Berkeley County, I hate to tell you, it's not. Not if you follow Jesus. Your first citizenship's in heaven. And our allegiance is to our King Jesus. We sang a lot of songs about that too this morning. Maybe you noticed. Oh, hail the power of Jesus' name, crowned with many crowns. All these songs about diadems and thrones. And that's God himself. We're not talking about a human throne. We're talking about God on his throne. So I'm going to ask the praise team to come. We're going to sing one more song about God being the one who is above all human governments. He is our king. So let's pray together as the team comes. Lord, we thank you for these verses. We thank you for the clear teaching that you do not give your glory to another. You are a God who is taking us through this world, but our citizenship is somewhere else. We thank you for that. We look around and our world is very messed up, and we know why. We know that there are leaders who don't desire you, don't want to do things your way. So many things would be so much better in our world if we would just follow your path, but so many leaders won't take us in that direction. So until the day that you are our king in heaven, we want to be faithful to you here and trust you and crown you as our king. And at the same time, lift up those in prayer that are leading us, who are in these positions, who have so many important decisions to make, and ask for your wisdom and your help to give them guidance, that there would be some decisions made, that there would be ways that they would please you with their votes and their demeanor and their way that they are setting examples for the rest of their constituents. Lord, these folks have a lot of responsibility, a lot of pressure, so we lift them up. And we thank you this morning that you are our King and that you are Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.